The Chris Moyle Show. BBC Radio 1.
Let's bring in Simon Pegg. Oh, hi, Simon.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
The picture I've just seen of myself.
We have that every day.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Hello there, the world.
Hi, Simon Pegg.
Hi. I got tweets this morning from people in America listening to your show.
Right.
Saying how much they love you.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Are you?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Thanks.
I had a feeling you are.
Well, I know. I get that rumour going whenever I can.
Probably heard on this show.
How are you?
I'm all right, yeah, I'm a bit tired. It's a bit, things are a bit crazy at the moment. It's all sort of a bit of a bottleneck of things happening. But I'm all right, I'm getting through. I'm not going to complain.
Are you excited about your book?
I'm really... Not as excited as you are.
About your book? I am excited about
it. I heard you trailing it anyway. Yeah, if you like Star Wars in a pub, then
it's... no, it's more than that, but like... But I was just saying that we have many things in common.
Oh, do we?
Well, I think so. The fact that you went, oh, do we, now makes me feel no.
No, I'm sure we do. Well, we both used to, well, did you remember the shepherds in Highgate? You lived near there, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I know the Boogaloo. I know it since it's changed.
Yeah, it's changed hands.
But I was reading that that chapter of your book, and you talk very fondly about this pub. And if you take out Nick's name and replace it with Dave's, and take the name of the pub and replace it to a pub around the corner from Radio 1... It's word for word almost what me and Dave went
really?
Through. Yeah. About the same time.
Yeah.
How strange.
Because we used to live in a pub on Great Portland Street.
It becomes like your living room, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Sort of like. Yeah, we were terminally single, and that's where we used to spend our days.
I actually took off my shoes in the pub once to show Nick just how comfortable I was there. I said, watch this. And I walked to the bar in my socks.
Dave reminds me, well, what happened was, I moved to London, I didn't know many people in London. The people I did know all had jobs during the day.
Yeah.
So the only friend I had to play with was Dave.
Likewise.
We finished on the radio at 7 in the morning, rose some stuff, forgot some stuff for the next day, had breakfast, hung around, and then waited for this pub to open at 11.
Wow.
And we would stay there all day.
What a delightful existence.
And Dave used to remind me recently that I used to have a sleep in the afternoon.
In the pub.
In the back room of the pub. Because they didn't have any other clientele bar us.
But the That's thing really is, sweet. it was almost like a sort of our own telly show in a way, because we were there and then people would come in a bit like the guests at lunchtime, and we'd spend a table and we'd have whoever was on at the lunchtime shift.
Right.
Then they go back to work, and then there'd be the people coming after work and we'd still be there.
Yeah.
And then we'd have like another show and we'd sit there, and then they'd go home, and then I'd eventually
It wasn't like a show in a sense we'd go, oh, look, it's Andy from the couch.
But it wasn't. But you see,
do that.
But the table would remain the same, yet the cast would change, wouldn't it? And then I'd eventually...
Like a never-ending chat show.
Yeah, I'd fall asleep on the night bus and wake up in Tottenham or something.
Pub TV? Yeah. Surely that's a pitch for a show. You just start at 11 in the morning, different people come in, you get steadily more sort of inebriated.
Hilarious. And it's alive in every... But you can only see it if you're in the
in
pub.
The pub.
But, it's a live show.
But yeah, you used to have your kit between the lunchtime audience and then the tea time audience.
I don't really remember.
I used to sleep in the pub on Saturday night because they had lock-ins, and I would eventually fall asleep, and my wife and this old 70-year-old man would be having a conversation about the war, and I'd fall asleep on the dog. I woke up, it was either me or Nick woke up once and said, I wish Henry was my dad. And Henry was an Alsatian.
And what would you drink then? Would you drink lager?
I don't drink actually at the moment. I'm on a big health kick, so I'm
But
I'm
back
training.
In the day?
Back in the day it would be probably Stella, yeah, or lager.
Can you just not put any weight on at all?
Oh, listen, I'm right in the middle of a regime that's made me very skinny. I'm doing a Mission Impossible 4, so I have to be like...
Oh, me too. That's the way I'm training.
Yeah, but you've never been heavy, though, have you?
I fluctuate, you know. But I went away to do shooting, and suddenly I was away from my normal life, and all I had to do was... If you've got the time, it's not so hard, but it's just finding the time to...
So what do you do? What is your routine? On your regime
over there, I was hand to hand fighting and SWAT training and just cardio like all day because I didn't have any responsibility other than that.
Right. So and then when you're back here, are you on a specific food diet?
I am, and I'm trying to maintain the gym as well because I'm back here for a month and I got to go back to Mission Impossible. So it's kind of I don't want to let it all go. I don't want to lose my skills.
Mm. Sure.
You don't want to lose your Chinese fighting
no
sticks.
Way. Is Nick in Mission Impossible 4? Is he on the same regime?
Nick is not. No, no. Nick's back here at the moment. We're just starting press for Paul, which comes out next year, so yeah. I'm getting to see him a bit, which is nice.
It's all very exciting.
It's got loads.
Haven't you done
it's
well?
A bit of a bottleneck. Well, it's weird because you do things at different times and then they all happen at once, you know. Like, the book's been on the cards for like 3 years and I've been skirting around it trying to do it and thinking, I'll write it between shots, and you can't do that.
No.
So I sat down for like 3 months and really intensively wrote it after I finished Burke and Hare.
And you did it yourself?
I did it completely myself.
Good lad.
Well, I would. Thank you so much.
Well,
a lot of people don't.
But you'll be amazed at the amount. Some on my life, a famous person who had a book out said to me, "Have you read your own book?" And I went, "Have I? Did I write it?" No. Did you? Have you read it? And I went, "Well, I wrote it. Yeah. Did you read? What, you actually wrote it?
Like,
yeah.
It's a surprise."
I said, "What? You didn't write yours? No. Have you read it? No. They haven't even. And this is. And it was like their autobiography."
That's insane.
But what do? Do they just sort of supply the writer with key facts and then the writer
a lot of people
around
interview
it?
Them, or? They sit and
I think what
them.
Happens is like a transcribed interview.
Yeah.
But they're kind of what... I think it's kind of what gives those books a sort of a slightly bad name in a way, is that some of them it's just like a way, oh, you go off and do that, and I'll make a bit of cash from it. But, this is really hard to write this book. I didn't really want to write a biography because I'm a bit uncomfortable about private life, you know. But I sort of, when I was trying to write about work, and it's kind of boring. It's just stories that, it's like listening to a party that you weren't at, and it's boring. And all the childhood stuff was slightly more, you know, just a bit more engaging, I think, and easier to relate to.
But I think, though, like, if someone doesn't like you,
yeah.
The haters, right, yeah. They won't read it. No. And if they do read it, chances are they won't like it. So I always think that when you do stuff like that, you just got to give...
Absolutely.
So if you have a... Oh, here's a funny little story. I was sitting in my trailer, by the way, doing Mission Impossible 3, and, this is fun. We have a guy... Anyway, his job is to do this. It's a bit technical. But and you're probably writing it going, oh, does anyone really care? But we're I do. Go on.
But the thing is that if somebody's taken the you know... actually parted with their money and bought the book,
yeah.
Then yeah, they're going to be interested.
I
if
wrote
they
this
weren't,
book specifically for the haters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to try and bring them round.
This is chapter 4, which is called, yeah, I'm not really that good, am I?
Right? It's a real woe is me.
And then, oh, Shaun of the Dead, it wasn't all that chapter. You know I love Shaun of the Dead.
Thank you, mate. Well, that again came about because of the Shepherds, and the Winchester in Shaun of the Dead was based on that local. And the reason that aspect of the script arose was because mine and Nick's respective girlfriends, now my wife at the time, were like, why can't we go somewhere else? Why can't we go into town? We didn't have the benefit of being terminally single, do you know what I mean, at that point.
Yeah.
And so that became part of the film, was this idea that why go anywhere else? What's the point?
But I'm with you.
Yeah, absolutely. If you find your place, you want to go. And
all right,
it's comfy.
But now let me ask you this. Now you're married.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, and you have a little boy or a little girl?
A little girl. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On the odd night that you know you get to go out with the missus or whatever. Do you go, where should we go in town? Does she ever go, oh, let's just go at the end of the road, and then...
Let's go to Banners. Right. That's what we do.
Right.
Just because it's closer if we have to come back.
Right. You know. Then she's saying in the old days, come on, let's go to town, and now she goes, yeah. Oh, let's just go there.
We don't go out anymore. Right. I took her to see Inception the other night, because I saw it when I was shooting, and I loved it. And I said, oh, you've got to come in. We haven't been to the cinema for a year and a half. Come out with me. Let's go. And we went to see it, and it was brilliant. And... It was just weird to be out, though, you know. You just sort of shouldn't do it. You keep checking your phone to see if anyone's texted.
See if the babysitter's texted you.
Babysitter?
How old is your daughter?
She's 15 months.
Oh, and she's great at texting, though.
She's an amazing babysitter on herself.
She takes herself to bed. She sets the Sky Plus so you don't miss the Apprentice. She's really good. In Simon's book, which you can only get if you pick it up off the shelf and have a look, which I suggest you do, and then while it's in your hand, you may as well buy it.
Thank you.
Because there's no point in writing it if you don't buy it.
It's a cracking read.
These little pages here, when you first open it up, doodles.
Yeah.
Are these really you?
They are my teenage and childhood doodles. There's a picture of Yoda and a
it's
dinosaur.
Very good.
Do you know what? I can't draw as well as that now. That was when I was like 14.
But you've made him very happy, Yoda, and also you've taken years off him.
It's a prequel, Yoda.
Right,
the prequels came out.
He looks a bit like Phil Mitchell, but with the ears, though, of that fella off X Factor. Have you been watching X Factor?
I haven't, unfortunately.
There's a fella with really sticky out ears.
He does look like Phil Mitchell. Mm. And there's a gun.
There's a gun, there's some kind of dinosaur. There's Planet Peg, which I like. That's nice. But that's very good in the bottom left-hand corner.
You know what? That's a rip-off from a 2000 AD picture.
It doesn't matter. It's still very good.
I'm worried about copyrighting that. I suddenly realised, wait a minute, I copied that at 2000 AD. Which is a great comic, by the way.
Yeah. Ooh, trouble.
But if you look in the picture section at the back, there's a picture drawn by Simon Bisley, who is my favourite comic book artist. And in the book itself, there is a fiction story which runs through it. And Simon Bisley, who I based Tim Bisley from our sitcom Spaced, based his name on Simon Bisley. He drew me and my robot sidekick Canterbury, which was a massive honour for me.
It's very hard and slightly camp in that.
If you read the fiction story, completely captures it.
Okay.
You look like an aggressive choreographer.
I should be on that show about the thing. Oh my goodness, that was a terribly inarticulate thing.
Do you have that framed in your home?
No, but I am going to have it framed in my home, of course.
So now, here's another thing about the book, is that you go through it, and you've done, which, by the way, I think you should do, and I don't know you very well, but I like to think that you toyed with this idea. You probably had sleepless nights over, okay, what pictures do I put in? Do I put a picture in the book of me and Steven Spielberg, or does that look, like, really...
Do you know what? I didn't, and then when I looked at it, I thought, oh, you... Name dropping.
No, but you should. I think you should.
Well, there's a chapter.
Because do you have pictures of you and Steven Spielberg and Quentin Tarantino in your home?
No, not on the wall and stuff.
Fine. So then put them in your book.
Well, there's a chapter about meeting your heroes and kind of stuff, so it's sort of relevant. And then when I was looking at it, first of all, I looked at all the kids' stuff and thought, oh, no, I've just given all this stuff away about my childhood, which felt sort of weird. But, you know, it's part of the process.
Absolutely.
And then at the back, there's the pictures of being at work and stuff and being with, you know, those kind of people. And I just thought, I can't even say what I thought.
No, you can't.
I've been briefed already. Mm.
But there's some really good pictures. There's you and Kevin Smith, and there's you and Steven Spielberg, and you and Quentin Tarantino, and you and Boba Fett, which is brilliant.
That's the highlight.
They're all in there.
That's the big one.
When I did mine, there's a picture of me and Spinal Tap guys, obviously, in their Spinal Tap gear, which I got about 2 days before I had to put the pictures in, outside Radio 1 when they came in for an interview, and I hovered outside my own building.
Doesn't matter.
Waiting for them to come out and timed the walk, so I'd walk up and go, oh, hi, can I get a picture, please?
It's still in there.
Taken on my phone by Sandy.
Was that in the first or second one?
In the first one, I think.
Was it?
I don't know.
That's still cool. That's still Spinal Tap.
It is still cool.
Those pictures, I went up, can I have my picture taken with you, please, so I can put it in a book one day?
There is a picture of you, David Williams, and George Lucas, and David Williams is going, hi, like he does, and you're going, this is a bit weird, next to George Lucas. And George Lucas is going, I don't know who you are taking the picture, and I don't know who you two are next.
That was a weird moment, because it was at the premiere for Revenge of the Sith, and I didn't like those prequel Star Wars films, but I still went, because I'd always wanted to go to a Star Wars
Did you
Wars
tell
premiere.
Him that? No, maybe that's why his face
Well, he says
that.
Something very weird. I went over, and he was talking to Ron Howard, you know, Richie from Happy Days and the director, and Lucas turned around and saw me and just thought, oh, he's another 30-something Star Wars fan who's going to go on about how much I changed his life. Ron Howard leant over and said, oh, man, Shaun of the Dead. My kids love that movie.
Wow.
And as soon as Ron Howard said that, George Lucas kind of changed his attitude towards me and sort of had a little chat. And he said to me, he said, can I give you some advice? And I said, of course, I'd like to hear it. And he said, don't be making the same film 30 years from now. And I just thought that was a very telling thing to say.
Oh, God, he's miserable then.
He's miserable and rich.
I thought, and then he said, but do keep all the merchandise for all the Shaun of the Dead dolls. Yeah. That's what
he's admitted it. He's admitted that he was Luke Skywalker when he made the first one, and now he's Jabba the Hutt, you know.
Oh, bless him.
I know.
Not going to the gym, then.
Has he invited you to Skywalker Ranch?
No, but Nick's been.
Really?
I've got a few friends in Lucasfilm. When they released the original trilogy without all the new stuff on it, you know they did that re-release with all the extra needless bits in it. I got an unnamed parcel from Lucasfilm with the three DVDs of the original trilogy untampered with. Wow. With a little embossed note saying, we thought you'd like these.
Nice!
Which is really sweet, you know. Wow. So I think, you know, I mean, the it's a controversial thing, the prequels, but I think there are people inside the business that don't even like them.
What a great life you've had. Seriously, you know, spending loads of time in the pub, making films.
Top of the list.
Having your photo taken with people that you liked that made the films, writing it in a book, getting paid for the book, going back to America to do Mission Impossible 4.
Not America.
No. Oh, where? Oh, where?
Well, Prague. Dubai.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh,
ruined.
What?
Absolutely ruined.
That is just rubbish.
No, it's been... It's, it
Hang on,
nice
when are you going back to... When are you going to Dubai?
I have a month of here for doing book business and
right.
book and hair coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah, of course.
Back to Dubai in November and then
Good
Vancouver.
Good time to go. Weather's all right, it's not
yeah.
too high.
Have you been? I've not been. I said a stop over there. Once.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you where to go. It's been nice.
Oh, will
not
you?
Where to go, but... Like,
get lost.
Yeah, no worries. In fact, we know a few people out there, so, you know, you'll be fine. If you get bored, you're at a loose end.
Yeah, we've
know.
Got contacts.
Yeah, no problem.
Can I tweet you? I noticed
You've got to start following me first.
I know.
Let's not bring it up.
This morning, I noticed that you were on. No, I started following the show.
Yeah, not me.
And then someone else said your name, mm-hmm. and I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
Don't be upset.
Whatever.
Do you follow me?
Yep.
Are you? Yeah, I'll definitely follow you. I don't know. Chris, stop it. He's gone. He's left the studio.
I'm here. I've left... My heart's left.
I swear,
yeah.
I didn't realise you were even on until this morning in
Thanks.
The car.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Hey,
when someone said, one of you guys said, oh, I saw How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, that's a good film.
Dom said that.
And then you went, yeah. Big long pause.
Yep, you know why?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen it. And I was pretending I had, and then felt bad. Now you brought it up, I have to tell the truth.
I don't mind.
Right.
I'm going to follow, I'm going to tweet, I'm going to DM you later.
Right,
Dirty
whatever,
stuff.
Yeah, whatever.
Like sex stuff.
Why?
I might not have seen that film, but I have stood outside Sean's girlfriend's
house. Shown the photos.
And had my photos.
That's only because it's by the wrestlers.
No, I know, but still, it's me outside Sean's girlfriend's flat.
That is, in Highgate.
Yeah, fine.
Right near the pub where you
yeah,
go,
whatever.
Locally. Oh no, I just got a lot.
Outside the shop. I don't want to
Shut up, you didn't do the tour.
Yeah. Did my own tour.
You can't blame me for not knowing who's on Twitter. Yeah. I only just found out that who was on the other day. I didn't know that was on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Some family member.
At Chris Moyles.
At Chris DJ Moyles.
At Chris DJ Moyles.
Had my name.
No.
Went on. Yeah, it's always the same.
I had a couple of imposters.
You know what I think is even more sad than the fact that you've taken pictures outside of all those places?
It's not sad.
It's not sad.
No, I know it's not sad. The fact that you then printed them off into little pieces of A4 off your computer so that you can do a gallery display.
Ding, da, ding, da, ding, da, ding.
And here you haven't even got the size to fit the paper.
It's outside the house.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't matter.
I feel uncomfortable.
No, don't. I can't. And I don't want to do too much of that now, because we do the same joke on the telly show in 3 weeks when Nick comes on. So
oh, do you?
Yeah. Fine.
So yeah, if you listen now and you watch the show, forget we did this now.
Yeah. He said, I got a text from him the other night saying that he was doing it. He sounded excited.
Did he text back afterwards?
He did.
How it went?
He said you were lovely, actually.
Thanks.
And that's true.
Thanks.
So take the compliment.
I'm taking it. From Nick, not you.
Hey!
Can't win.
So, look, we need to take a break for the news, and then we'll come back, we'll play a few more songs, and then we'll be back with Simon Pegg. And if you have any questions for him, why not feel free to text in? We might not necessarily ask them, but still. At 81199 if you have any questions. And Simon, and you have a thing as well, if you have any questions for us.
Yes.
Just feel free to just, you know.
I was asking
now.
A lot in the live lounge, actually, about what time you got up and stuff
like
that.
Well, save it. And then when we come back for part two of the interview.
All right.
You know,
yeah. All right, we'll do. I have got a question.
I don't necessarily answer them.
We can tell you what time we get up in the morning, Bruno.
Are you going to be moody with me for the rest of the interview?
Tell him no, Dave.
The Chris Moyle Show. BBC Radio 1.
It's just Simon's just been saying, oh, because I follow Dominic on Twitter and Tina and Dave and Alan, but I don't follow you. Hey, Simon.
That's right.
Grr. If I ever seen you broken down on the street again, I'm stood by your car, you forget it.
Oh, my God.
Come and sit back down again. We have people have been texting questions. So
I was embarrassed by that, by the way. I remember because we were driving my wife's car and she was driving a sort of like a dark green Polo at the time, and you drove past in like a in a Lamborghini or something.
No, that wasn't that.
And I went, "Hey, Chris." And I thought, "Oh, he's just saw me fixing a Polo's tyre."
Well, no, because I said, "Are you all right? Do you need a hand or anything?"
You did actually,
and you went, "No, it's all right, my wife."
No, we're fine. Just go, move on.
And
look at me.
And I remember, then as we drove off, it was one of those things of where if you'd have gone, actually, yeah, that would be great. I don't know what I would have been
because
able to do.
Because you can't change your tyre.
Yeah, I can't do anything.
No, I know.
If, you know, I'd be like, is it run out of petrol? Is it plugged in? I don't know.
I appreciate the gesture. I know you didn't, you know, really want to help.
Well, no, I'd have dropped you somewhere if you wanted to go, as long as it was on my
way.
There
was only one seat in that car in the centre of it.
No, there was a back seat. It's fine. But I was only going to the next road because I only lived over the road.
Oh, so. Right.
But let's not get bogged down in that business.
All the acrimony between us over the years.
Yeah.
Twitter gates and...
There are some lovely questions coming in, which we'll do in a bit.
Okay.
There are some kind of seriousy questions and there are some very silly questions.
I like both of those kinds.
So you're not drinking?
No, it's just detrimental to the regime. When you get into it, it's like... What's the point? Because what's the point of having a pint? Because it's just gonna you're gonna have to spend another 15 minutes on the treadmill to get rid of that. And I'm just working really hard. And I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it.
So when was the last time you had a drink?
July, probably.
Oh, really? Blimey.
Yeah. I'm, you know, it's good as well.
Have you noticed that Nick stopped calling or hanging around?
No, we can see other substances. It's okay. Fine. We have an open
Should
relationship.
Should we try this coffee business?
Do you know what I've got into?
What?
Don't hate me. Green tea.
Really? That's boring, though,
I've got
it?
A bottle of cold green tea in my bag. No, because it's like coffee. It's a bit bitter, and it gives you a bit of a whoo-hee, but it's not, like,
you changed.
As cool as coffee.
Changed,
I have changed, yeah.
Changed.
And I'm proud.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever. See what I'm drinking here? Yorkshire tea.
Well, that can't be a cup
I think
of
it
tea,
might be PG it? Tips, in fact.
I'm not going to stand on. In the way of PG tips, come on. But just because it...
With milk.
Green tea is a good metabolizer. Do you want to... Shall I get onto metabolistic?
Not really.
Okay. I'll just sit quietly in the corner.
What do you have for breakfast?
Porridge.
Oh, really?
An apple. And some potion.
Wow!
What's potion?
Magic potion?
No, there's some kind of... This... Oh, I don't want it. It is boring.
Is it pineapple grapefruit that Andy has every day?
Grapefruit.
Yeah, you should have grapefruit.
Grapefruit's nice.
That's great for kickstarting metabolism.
The acidity does kickstart metabolism.
Really
this is some sort of thing I bought in Prague, which is illegal in England, which helps you...
Pineapple? No, you can get it here.
No,
it's fine.
Really?
Yeah, you get it in all the supermarkets. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
You can get it in rings, chunks, and even as a whole fruit.
Whole fruit. Can I say congratulations, pineapple? Welcome to England. Right.
I mean, it's still only in, like, Morrison's and Tesco's, but I believe it's going to be branching out to the other supermarkets.
Some of the smaller outfits.
Absolutely.
How exciting.
Right, look, we're going to play a couple of songs, and then we'll be back, because if you have any more questions we haven't done any yet, for Simon. Simon, why don't you follow Chris on Twitter? That kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm only joking.
You know, they didn't turn the game over in that pub, by the way, that guy who texted in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we left really stroppy. We just walked out of the old dairy in Crouch End. Why can't we have our own way?
Was that when Leeds United beat Man United?
Probably.
Yeah.
It was just... It was one of those things where Tony, my mate, was very excited about seeing the Celtic game. He's a Scot, he's got a Scottish family, and then we weren't allowed to watch it. And nowhere else was playing it. There's not a great, you know, support.
Is this in London?
It is in the old Dairy, which is a lovely pub.
I've been in there. It is a nice pub, actually.
Yeah.
Never been.
Have you not?
No. Maybe when we could go there and have a pint of green tea.
Why don't we?
Let's do that.
The Chris Moyle Show.
Right, we're in the Diamonds and Hollywood, which is where, of course, Simon now lives in his big Hollywood mansion.
In a gold palace.
Wow. So where were you born?
Gloucester.
But I always consider you to be a very North London boy.
I've lived in North London for 17 years, so I've lived in North London longer than I've lived anywhere else, but I was born in the West Country in Gloucester.
Oh.
Which I still adore. And I'm going back to this weekend to do the Cheltenham Literary Festival. So.
Oh, me too.
That'll be fun.
See you there.
See you there.
I'm just going along to hear the readings of stuff. Simon's book, autobiography, is out today called Nerd Do Well. It's out in all good bookshops and bad bookshops.
Mostly bad.
And you should go and buy it.
Absolutely. If you want a nice read and some fun, then buy my book.
If you've enjoyed
any of his
brilliant work, any of his movies. His TV.
How to Lose Friends, your favourite?
Which one of my favourites. And you know I'm going to have to buy that now because I'll be riddled with guilt.
It's not. It's good people in it. Megan Fox and Kirsten Dunst and Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, I'll buy it out of guilt mainly and then I'll watch it and then I'll go, it's really good.
You're
and
a
then,
ball of emotion, aren't
then
you?
Then the next time, isn't I am at the moment. And then next time I see you, I'll probably go on about it a little bit too much and you'll be like, it's all right, you don't need to.
It upsets me because I follow you on Twitter, you know.
Do you?
I do now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel really bad. What?
I have a question. Did you have the title Nerd Do Well for a while and thought this would be a good title for a book or for...
No, it came out, literally came out of thinking for something for the book. There was all sorts of... The biggest one, the one that I've been offered so many times from various... Off the Peg. Here's an idea. Off the Peg. It's a sketch show or it's... But Nerd Do Well just came out. I did want to call it... Originally it was Ne'er Do Well because the word nerd derives from nerd... Ne'er-do-well. The word nerd, derives from ne'er-do-well. And then it just felt like a bit of obvious wordplay. So, and then I looked at it again and thought, oh, it's a bit self-aggrandizing, but it was too late. And I like it as a title. It's kind of cool. Mm.
It's a bit what?
Well, it's a bit like...
Self-what?
Bit up myself, isn't it?
Self-aggrandizing.
Self-aggrandizing.
Oh, listen to you, man.
I went to university.
Wow.
So did I, but I've never heard of self-aggrandising.
Do you know what? Sam was right when she came into the studio and she went, he's lovely. I better be great at a dinner party. That's what she said.
That's the ultimate compliment.
I'm a messy eater, though, so it swings around a bit.
Well, you know, bring a bib. We'll rock out. Can you please ask Simon, this is from Andrew in St. Ives, if it was true he was offered the part of Bilbo in The Hobbit?
No.
If you read this, I will buy the book.
No, but I think, I mean, Martin Freeman is penciled to do it. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what's happening, but I think that's the most fantastic choice, because he is like... a young Ian Holm, and I think Martin is one of our finest actors, and as proven by, you know, not just The Office, but Sherlock recently. Mm. I hope he does it as well, because he's such a sort of old school, like, soul fan. He's not like a nerd, Martin. I get taken the mickey out of for being like a bit of a geek by him, because he's all sort of mod clothing and Stax records, and he's going to play the biggest nerd icon in ever, and I can't wait. I can't wait to clap with glee.
Leanne in Belfast says, if Shaun of the Dead really happened, what would be your weapon of choice and where would you hide?
I would probably do what Shaun does. I mean, a cricket bat, you don't have to reload it. You've got good, what Nick calls killing distance. Mm. You know, a gun is okay, but they can jam. They're very unreliable. Mm. You need a blunt object and you need somewhere you can... You need somewhere you can lock down, but somewhere you can get away from as well. Mm. That's my advice.
I like it. Paddy in Manchester says... This is like the bit on Live and Kicking or Going Live when they used to have the hot seat. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So, Paul, you've got a question.
Yes, Simon.
Paddy in Manchester says, who does Simon consider to be the most talented actor he has ever worked with?
Jeff Bridges, probably, just because he was... I'm a massive fan of his, and to watch him working, to be in scenes with him was inspiring, because it just you had to really raise your game, otherwise it was like you wouldn't be on the screen at all. So he's extraordinary. But I've had, you know, worked with a lot of great people and worked with Christopher Lee this year, which was pretty amazing. And he's, like, so tall and old. It was incredible. And still so full of amazing stories.
He's so tall and old. He's incredible. How can he be so tall and old at the same time?
Well, most old people shrink, don't they?
Yeah, get but their ears get bigger.
And they're really, but his first story was about Errol Finn broke my finger. And it was like, okay, we're going to have a great day.
Do you, because obviously, you know, more and more now you work with more and more actors. Mm. Like, so, actors I find that they're very, some are very different. So you find somebody who will just go, yeah, well, the thing is, we'll go and eat there, yeah? We'll book it for 8 o'clock. We'll be done by 7. We'll go quick shower and go. Ready? Yeah? And action. Listen. Yeah, right? And there's some like that. And there are others who need to go into a little zone or become the person moments before.
Or all day.
And do you must just stand there and go, oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
They're a bit more intense than I thought they'd be.
We usually, Jeff Bridges, for instance, was he'd make lots of sort of like vocal warm-up noises before we did a take, and then he'd watch the take after at the video monitor to check what was going on. Some actors don't do that. Some actors don't want to see themselves at all. You see a lot of different techniques. I mean, working with Paddy Considine on Hot Fuzz, he was... hilarious, because he would, as someone who can be very intense and a brilliant, brilliant actor, he would mess around, like, up to the half second before action. Like, acting the absolute giddy goat, and then action, and it would be straight in. I just wonder if he was like that on the set of Dead Man's Shoes.
What?
It would have been difficult to have gone from one to the other in that form.
Absolutely, yeah.
just before he's putting his mask on, is like that.
Yeah.
And she says, no, thanks, I've got two large ones. Come on, you ready? Let's go.
Because that's proper dark.
It is a brilliant film.
Really good film. What do you like?
Me?
When you're acting, yeah.
It's pretending. It's like playing, you know, when you're a kid. I don't... I mean, it's good to take a deep breath. And when I was doing... I did Run, Fat Boy, Run with Hank Azaria, who does a lot of the Simpsons voices. And he would do Simpsons voices on purpose right up to the point of calling action. Like, he'd go, just before action, and do Dr. Frink, which is one of my favourite... Professor Frink, which is one of my favourite characters. And I would then just be... helpless, you know, and look bad. It's important to have a couple of seconds before just to psych yourself up. But it's just pretending. Acting, dear, as Olivier said.
I've had to be filming for the Channel 4 show. We've been doing some fake movie trailers.
Right.
And it's the kind of nearest I've got to having to be serious you know, whatever I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah.
And I kind of really don't know how to behave, right? So I've seen certain, like, behind-the-scenes documentaries, because I watch all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've seen some actors who, they just drop their face to what they're about to do just beforehand. So I found myself doing that the other day, and just I feel just so embarrassed. I can't...
You know what? You're an actor, you can pretty much do anything in front of the crew, and they don't take any note. I mean, you know, in terms of preparation.
Right.
You can go before a take, and nobody gives you a second look because you're an actor and you're supposed to behave like that.
I love that.
Have you worked with many people who were in character all day, from the minute they turn up on set till the minute they go home?
Never met anybody like that.
Because there are, I mean,
Coogan do that though.
He also, but not in a kind of. He does it to just sort of limber up.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like when we did Partridge, it was weird because he dropped in and out of it, but. Steve is generally on all the time anyway. Yeah. That's part of who he is. He's kind of like a machine, comedically. He's just always working.
One of the shows being recorded when he was in the living in the hotel and everything. Imagine that. Hmm. And I sat in the audience and watched it. And he was in character and came out and spoke to the audience before as Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
And then introduced, and I think at the end was still Alan, but then introduced all the actors.
Right.
In fact, the actors next week will come, but we're still as Alan. So it was a real kind of weird...
odd meta weirdness.
But then you kind of buy into it, because you go, well, I've just watched it be Alan Partridge for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and yeah, that makes sense. Well, it would be weird if he came out and then was Steve.
The first time I met him was I was auditioning for that show. I had to do, like, an improvisation with him for 15 minutes. And he was in character. I came down and he was just Partridge. He had the wig on. And I was a massive fan of the day-to-day and him.
Mm.
And I had to sit on the wall outside Big Talkback in Percy Street and get my breath back afterwards because it was so weird and nerve-wracking. My heart was thumping.
What did you have to do? What was it?
I had to do like 15 minutes of impro with him for like, you know, just to do the... I was in one of the episodes of I'm Alan Partridge. And it was just really... It was terrifying because I walked in and I met Alan Partridge, not Steve.
Do you know what?
Lee Francis does the whole in-character thing all day.
He goes to premieres in costume, but then that's part of his shtick, I think.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's very strange, though. When you meet him, we went and did Celebrity Juice recently, and we've had him on the show as Avid, and when he comes in, and he came in as Avid Merrion, and we met him before, and then there was a break, two songs, and Chris went out for some fresh air, and I'm there expecting to talk to Lee, and he's still talking in this sort of crazy East European accent with a neck brace on.
Yeah.
And it was really strange, but he doesn't come out of it, does he?
Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
It is, in fact, different strokes for different folks.
Have you seen the YouTube reversioning of the title sequence for Different Strokes? It's very funny. It's just with sinister music.
Oh,
it changes
really?
The whole thing. It's fantastic.
I shall check it out. Do you know, when I look back at your work...
Yes.
Some of my favourite things that you've done, quite random...
Okay.
Like, I love the films.
Yes.
I haven't seen the Alienate People one, but I will buy it today out of guilt, as I said.
It's only like $3.99 now, you've done all right.
Fine, whatever. I'm sure you've got my album. but I really like... There's certain things that I remember really clearly, and I remember you doing The Milky Bar Kid.
Oh, my God. On Comic Relief.
On Comic Relief.
That was dark.
Which was really bizarre.
Was that live? It was live. It was the show had overrun. It was like gone midnight, and me and Steve did this very dark, very sort of slightly just bad taste sketch about the Milky Bar Kid having gone very much to seed, and the audience around us were just like, "What is this?"
It's a great watch though. Now it really
I'm like
is.
Crying and stuff. And
it is. And then my favourite sketch from Big Train, which is available on DVD, if anybody's never seen it,
yes,
is your. You're a DJ.
Oh, the local radio with
and
the joke.
And I'm not going to say what it is because you have to see it, and it's just very, very funny. And it's probably it's one of my favourite sketches you've ever been in, and you probably say the least amount of words in it.
I know, it's a great sketch, and it turns into something completely different at the end as well. That was Graham Linehan and Arthur Matthews, and you know the writers on that show were so good.
Oh, it's so good.
Love those guys.
Now, here's... this question is so well-timed.
Go on.
Simon, this is from Andy. Is there going to be a third film with you and Nick after Sean and Hot Fuzz?
Yes, but... Well, there's two. There's going to be two. There's one that Nick and I have written, which we filmed last year, which is out next February, called Paul.
Yes.
Which you'll see trailers for attached to the Social Network this weekend in Odeon and View Cinemas, apparently. They're linking it straight to.
Oh, that's handy.
Edgar and myself, who wrote Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, are going to write another film together, which Nick and I will be the kind of, you know, the main characters in. So, yes, twice to that.
So, is Edgar not... he's not on Paul?
Edgar's not. He went off to do Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is just...
Hello, that's never going to work.
It's an amazing, amazing film, and it blew my mind.
Well, whatever.
talk about...
Is that your T-shirt?
Yes, it is. I'm representing Edgar this morning. He actually saw a cut of Paul last night. It's weird. It's like when we go off and do other things, it's like seeing other people, and
it's a
slightly touchy subject. Mm. And I wanted, you know... I kind of was... There's a weird thing with Scott Pilgrim, just hoping to hear some horror stories from the set, and of course it went brilliant. And it is one of the greatest films I've ever seen. He's such an extraordinary talent, Edgar. I need to stay with him.
But you want it to be a good film, but you don't want him to have enjoyed himself while he made it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right?
Was it better than us? Was Michael Cera more fun than me?
So the idea of Paul is that you... Am I right in saying that you two are going to Comic-Con?
Nick and I have played Graham and Clive, who are two sort of British nerds who go on this trip to Comic-Con in San Diego, which is a big comic convention, and then do tour of all the US UFO hotspots in the US, like, you know, Area 51 and New Mexico, Roswell, New Mexico, and Camp Verde and Fort Apache or whatever. And on the way, just by sheer coincidence, they bump into a stranded alien who needs help getting back to his ship.
Lovely.
And along the way, we meet up with a sort of creationist Christian girl called Ruth, played by Kristen Wiig, who's just the most extraordinary comedy actress I've ever met, who's in Saturday Night Live. We don't know her that well here. She's in Knocked Up. She steals every scene she's
in
Knocked Up. And you'll recognise her. But also Sigourney Weaver's in it, and Jason Bateman, and Bill Hader, and Joe Latrullio, who's brilliant in Superbad. And it's directed by Greg Mottola, who did Superbad. So it's a good mix of the sort of British-American comedy.
So you come up with an idea where British guys are walking across America and they find an alien called Paul, and then they help him out, and you're off the drink? Whatever.
We came up with that idea in the gardens on Shaun of the Dead because the weather was so bad, and Naira, our producer, said, can't we make a film somewhere where the weather's just the same? And we thought, all right, it's set in the desert, in Arizona, and it's two blokes and an alien. It was literally that, spitballed. And I drew a poster for it, and 7 years later, we were in New Mexico last year making it. So.
See, it's beautiful.
How weird.
Isn't it?
It's like when we sit here and we go, we'd like to do the show from the Bahamas. And it's still to this day
and
never
tomorrow
happens.
We're doing the show from Essex.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What fun. Nick's from Essex.
It will be. Well, he's more than welcome to come along and join us. Actually, we came up with this ridiculous idea to do the show from Essex, forgetting that we had a guest booked on tomorrow's show. So Alan had to put the awkward phone call into the agent saying, would they like to come to Essex? And he is.
Yes.
That's cool. And
Michael
why not?
Michael McIntyre is with us tomorrow in BBC
Michael
Essex.
McIntyre. Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, we're going to sell his book. The least he can do is drag his ass to Essex.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not that far, is it?
No,
I would have definitely come.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's go now.
Okay, come on.
What have you got to do for the rest of the day? So you've got a book signing today in London, tonight, 5:30.
Just a little bit of promo and, you know, getting the word out there and stuff, as you must do. And
you're doing Loose Women?
I think I am doing Loose Women at some point, maybe next week.
All right.
Yeah, I know. That'll be. But I remember Linda Bellingham from that sitcom I did in the 90s with her.
Right, of course.
She's a lovely, lovely woman. I can't wait to see her because she was always great fun.
You're doing Steve Wright?
I think I am.
Brilliant.
You know the tour.
I like that.
But I'm starting right here with you.
Well, God love you. Get it out of the way. That's nice. We'd have only pre-recorded you. They'd have done it in the afternoon.
Not at all. No, I can't. It's all downhill from here.
Well, look, it's lovely to see you. As you I said, I've kind of bumped into you on and off for years. I don't know you for a while, but I'm a big fan of your work.
Thank you.
And I hear nothing but nice things about you. And I'm so pleased you're doing well so you can buy your wife a decent car that doesn't break down. I'm sure she's so excited about your success and the money that comes from it.
That's exactly why.
And now she says, do you know what? If it breaks down, she'll just buy a new one and have it delivered. So much easier. So Simon's book, Nerd Do Well, is out today. Go and buy it, and then, yeah, that's it. Then Paul doesn't come out until next year. And
no, read it. Burke and Hare is out on the 30th.
Of course it is. Sorry, I haven't even mentioned it.
Yeah, a movie, John Landis, we made here in the UK, out on the 30th. And then The Chronicles of Narnia in November as well.
All right.
So it's see what I mean about a bit of a bottleneck? Yeah.
It's like a production line.
Stop showing off, because I'm doing Davina McCall's roast on Friday.
Oh, really?
Dave is on Fifth Gear on Channel 5. And Tina's reading the 60-second news on BBC 3.
All right.
So, you know, we're all doing well, my friend. Don't come in here with your movie. Is this and your nanny of that? Hello. And Alan's probably got a gig somewhere on Saturday night.
Liverpool.
There you go.
All right, yeah. All right.
Are you DJing this weekend?
No.
I think so.
I take it all back.
I don't even know what that noise is. All right, look, what I'll do is we'll play a little song and then we'll come back with a tedious link and all that. Simon, lovely to see you. Have a lovely day.
Thanks, mate. The Chris Moyle Show. BBC Radio 1.